succession number 23208, Reel 2.
Gordon Smith, Reel 2. What are your next memories?
Next memories after that was when we had a patrol went out. Fortunately, I wasn't on it. And we lost, I think it was about four men on this patrol. And their bodies weren't recovered for quite a few days after, because the North Koreans had these machine guns on fixed lines. It wasn't until eventually we got the American artillery up with their 105 howitzers, and they blasted the top of the hill, that they were able to send somebody out to recover the bodies.
Was this patrol from C Company?
No, it was, I think it was from A Company, it was, yeah. It wasn't C Company patrol, no. But that was eerie at night. We used to go, I went out on one patrol one night, and that was scary, in the pitch black, yeah.
Can you describe the details of that patrol, please?
Yeah, we went out along the big hill where the North Koreans were. We was going along the road between that hill and the Nakdon River, and you could hear a little rustling and that, but you couldn't see nothing. But we went out for about 2 mile, and we never encountered nothing, and made our way back in. And of course we had to keep in wireless contact with the company headquarters to let them know you was coming in. And we got back in case somebody at the front see you coming in or hear you coming in and then start shooting. You've got to let the ones in front know that you're on your way back in. Because you usually get a certain time to do the patrol. You get time for going out and time for near enough coming back in. Unless you happen to run into trouble, then things are a bit different. But we got back in safe that night, and there was one night there was a patrol went out, and they spotted a North Korean patrol, and they kept down, and they let the North Koreans go through, and they phoned in to the headquarters, and they were waiting on the North Korean patrol come in, and as soon as they come in, just let them have it. Got the lot of them. Yeah. Killed them all. Yeah. Yeah, so.
About how many men would go out in a patrol?
There'd be about 10 or 12 go out in a patrol, yeah. And you had a sergeant with you and a corporal. And he had a wireless operator, and he was the most reliable man you'd have on the patrol, because he had to get the messages through. And of course, if your wireless had to break down, well, you could be in trouble.
Did that ever happen?
Not as far as I knew in our battalion. I don't know about other battalions. What I've read in quite a few books on Korea, I know there has been where the wireless operator's been shot and or his set's been hit, and they've had no contact with the battalion. But it never, not as far as I know, ever happened in our battalion.
And your next memories?
The next memories after that is when we moved from there, we moved up to take a hill called 282, Hill 282. We moved up in the afternoon into this position, and then we started out about 4 o'clock in the morning to take this hill. And we was given a certain amount of time to take it, and we took it well in advance of the time. We caught the North Koreans having their breakfast. It was A company and B company and C company. Well, C company was the reserve company, and finished up, we took the hill, and then we started getting infiltrated by North Koreans because we had no artillery. The Americans took their guns away from us and left us with no. We had tanks, but they couldn't fire over the hill. They can only fire onto a hill. They can't fire lob shells over the top. So it was getting infiltrated and mortared by these North Koreans. So we called in an airstrike because we used to have an American air liaison officer with a wireless set with his. And you got him and he called in an airstrike. And what happened was, you put aircraft recognition panels out in front to let them know your position. And the aeroplanes come in and circled overhead, and then went out, come back in, and bombed us. We nap them. And they killed 18 and wounded 72 just in a matter of minutes. And we lost our second in command of the battalion, Major Moore, who was awarded a VC. And we'd come off the hill, because there was only 30 of us left.
How near to you did the bombs come?
Well, I've got a mark on my neck there where there was a bit of shrapnel skimmed my neck. Still got that mark there. I was one of the... There was 72 wounded. They weren't all badly wounded. I was what they call a walking wounded. And there was quite a few more walking wounded. All they done was put a field dressing round it, and that was it. But some of them lost their legs and badly burned. And that was the worst thing that could have ever happened. American friendly fire again. Instead of blowing the North Koreans up, they blew us up.
How do you think it could have happened?
Well, there's lots of theories. Some people say that there was the wrong aircraft recognition panels put out, and others say they were put out the wrong way, so nobody seems to know. But the official secrets on that is not being released till the year 2025, when everybody's gone. Absolutely ridiculous. I had a chap try to take it up with the government, but that's still 2025.
So you were in a slit trench when the bombs fell, were you?
No, it was we was moving about on the hill. Because we hadn't dug in or nothing, see, because we'd gone up and taken the hill. We'd no chance of digging in when they come over and bombed us.
How close did the bombs come to you?
Well, they were quite close. As I say, I was lucky I didn't get splashed with the napalm, or else I could have been burnt. But it was just, a fragment of one of the cases that got me right on the side of the neck there, which could have went that way and took me head off. But it must have just been a small part, and it just chopped me a bit of neck there.
On the right side of your neck?
Yeah.
Did it bleed much?
It didn't bleed all that much, because When I got back down the bottom of the hill, the old medics, they bandaged it up. So just put a field dressing round and tied it, and that was it. And they couldn't afford to let you go because they were so short of men after losing all that lot, see? We were short and complement anyway of the battalion when we left Hong Kong. It was you losing all that lot made it worse.
Could you feel the heat of the napalm?
Oh yeah, you could feel it, yeah. It's terrible stuff if it gets onto you.
Does it smell?
No, it don't smell, no. Just when the containers hit the deck, it just blows. As soon as it hits the deck, it just explodes and sends always the napalm. It's like a jelly.
Were any of your friends lost?
Yes, two or three of my friends lost, yeah.
From your company?
Yeah, two or three from my company, and one, he went home, he lost his leg from a chap, Vic Kinnear, from Arbroath in Scotland. He lost his leg. It's a thing I never want to see happen to anybody again, but it's one of those things. And the reckon, I don't know how true it was, that the two American pilots that done it, when they got back to their base in Daegu, and they found out where the damn they were supposed to have committed suicide. Whether there was any truth in that, we do not know. The only way we'd ever know is when the details come out in 2025, I should think. But that's what we was told anyway.
So what did you do after you'd been hit in the neck?
Well, as I say, we got down off the hill. There was only 30 of us left. And we got into the battalion, and of course they started taking the names of everybody that was coming back down the hill. There was only one that never come back, and he was from our company, or a chap, he come from down in Kent, Peter Boatman, and we don't know to this day what happened to him. His name's up in the cemetery in Pusan as missing in action. No known grave. But whether they captured him and took him away and shot him, like what they used to do, the Koreans, the North Koreans, because they were vicious, they were to prisoners, and whether they took him away and shot him, we don't know. But after the next day, there was a certain amount went up onto the hill to see if his body was there. There was no body, so.
So after the napalming, did you carry people down from the hill?
Yes, we carried Major Moore, the second in command of the battalion. Not I didn't personally carry him down, but some of the chaps carried him down to the bottom of the hill, and he died at the bottom of the hill. He was mortally wounded.
What happened next?
Well, after that, we come out the front line and went back into what they call reserve for a little while to sort of get the battalion up to strength, because they drafted in from all different regiments in Hong Kong, and that people that volunteered to join the battalion. And then from Daegu we flew to Kimpo Airport just outside Seoul, and then from there we moved up to Panmunjom.
How did you travel?
We travelled by American trucks, because we'd no transport whatsoever. We travelled by American trucks up to Panmunjom.
Against any resistance?
No resistance, no. And then we camped up at Panmunjom until they decided whether what they were going to do, whether they were going to cross the 38th parallel, because that's just south of the parallel, or pack it in. Anyway, they decided that they were going to invade into North Korea, and the Argylls and the Middlesex and the 3rd Australians, we was what they called the 27th Brigade, and we led the 24th, was attached to the 24th Infantry Division, and we led them right up into North Korea. We was there, like, each day we'd be leading, then the next day be the Middlesex, and the next day the 3rd Royal Australian Regiment, and went on and on like that, right up to with about 20 miles of the Manchurian border. And then...
Were the enemy putting up any resistance?
We had one place, a place called Sariwon, where we had quite a bit of resistance, and that was where there was a company sergeant major, there was me, and the company commander, Major Reith, and I forget who was the other two. There was five of us. We went on a reconnaissance to get in contact with the 24th Division, who were coming up another road into Sariwon, and we ran into North Koreans retreating with a Bren Gun carrier and a Land Rover or a Jeep, and when we pulled into them, they fired one shot, and of course we just kept going, and we went through hundreds and hundreds of them until we completely passed the lot, and then we pulled in off the road into paddy fields, and we stayed there for the night. And then we could hear the old firing up in the town of Sariwon. And what happened, these North Koreans, the American tanks were in there, and of course they saw the star on them, they thought it was Russians, didn't they? And they were cheering, they were calling the Americans Ruskies, until somebody fired, and then there was a few... little ding-dongs going on. In the meantime, the 3rd RAR, Australian Regiment, had moved through after we captured Sariwon, and then they stopped north of the town, and all that lot, they captured the whole lot the next morning. Yeah. And they...
Were you in the carrier or in the jeep?
I was in the carrier, yeah. And the whole thing was, the Americans wanted the 24th Division wanted to be the ones that captured the capital of North Korea, Pyongyang. But they didn't. They were only letting us lead until they could go in. And the South Korean, what they called the ROKs, Republic of Korea Army, they managed to sneak in on the west coast and beat the Yanks to it. So the Yanks weren't very pleased that the South Koreans captured the capital of North Korea. Well, they wanted to capture it. And as I say, we, from like Sariwon, we went on, we'd be leading one day, Australia's the next, and Middlesex, and we went right on until I think it was about 20 miles, a place called Chonju, I think it was just short of the Manchurian border. And then we stopped there, I think it was a couple of days. And then that was it. We were supposed to be finished. We was going to go back to Hong Kong. But we pulled back, I think it was about 50 miles. And then 2 or 3 days later, we moved 5 miles back up, because the Chinese started. And we'd move back up to hold the line, because the Americans were running. Finest runners of the lot. You was never, never, ever safe. If you had South Korean regiments on your left or your right, or Americans. You was liable to be left high and dry, and we was several times. Well, they'd be running down the road in their trucks, and we'd be marching up to the front line. So that went on and on and on. Of course, the Chinese come farther down and farther down until, I think it was winter 1950, which was absolutely bitter, and we had no winter clothes, the Middlesex or the Argyles. They sent out from Britain string vests and a pack of mac. That was the only winter clothes we got.
What was the pack of mac made out of?
Like a wind cheater thing.
Made out of cloth?
Sort of cloth, yeah. And that was all the winter clothing we had, and it would drop down to 32 degrees below. You just had to put up with it. Yeah, used to sleep in our bivvies, make sure our rifles was tucked in beside us so that they didn't freeze up. And as I say, we come down to a place just sort of north of Sewell, a place called Eujonbu, and we spent the Christmas and the New Year there, guarding the approaches to Sewell.
Did you see anything of refugees?
Oh, hundreds and hundreds of refugees. And their point was that in amongst these refugees, you had North Koreans who were disguised as refugees. And the women, they used to have their hairs up in buns at the back. And you know what they'd have? They'd have a hand grenade inside them buns. That was that the North Koreans made them carry them. Yeah. Hand grenades inside them buns, so nobody could see them.
Did you search the refugees?
You couldn't. You just couldn't search. There were so many of them. There were just literally thousands of them. You just could not search them. And as I say, there were some of the men were dragged out. But as I say, you couldn't stop them. There were just thousands of them.
Who dragged them out?
Every now and again you'd see one, you might think that he looks a bit suspicious, a bit young to be, too young to be an old person and too old to be sort of in between there. And you'd drag him out and try and get some information out of him. Sometimes you was all right, you got them, because you had the interpreters with you, South Korean interpreters. And of course they didn't spare them any either. They were a bit hard on them.
What did they do to them?
Oh, they would take them round the corner and thump them and that. Yeah. They were the South Korean soldiers. Any South Korean soldiers got a hold of them, they're liable to shoot them.
So these were youths of army age, you mean?
Yeah, yeah. Yes, they weren't very amicable towards them.
How did you feel about the refugees?
Well, we just thought they were a bloody nuisance because they used to block the roads up, see? And, of course, the thing was that there was no sort of proper roads. It was all more like just dirt tracks. And of course, you're trying to get your transport and that through, and they're chucking the roads up, but it was rather annoying.
Were they asking for food?
No, some of them were kids and that. You felt sort of sorry for them with little children. That I did feel sorry for them, but we didn't have any food to give them because we just had the American combat rations. Tins of, like, frankfurters and beans, chicken and noodles and all stuff like that, and little tins of candy and cigarettes. But it was all American Russians we lived on, see? What they called sea rations. Because, as I say, we were completely at the mercy of the Americans, because they supplied us with practically everything.
Which way were the refugees heading?
Heading south. Yeah, you never found them heading north. Always south.
So, on the retreat southwards, were you engaged with the enemy at all?
Oh, every now and again we was, yeah. Because we used to, the 9 times out of 10, we used to be the rear guard, holding until the Americans bailed out, or the South Koreans. The 27th Brigade was, as I say, on the way up, was leading them, and on the way back, we was holding the line for them. That was the way it went. The Americans got in their trucks and they were off down the road, and we'd be marching up to the front line. And they used to say, "Buddy, you're going the wrong way."
So what did you say in return?
We just laughed at them. Because they had no discipline. That was their trouble. Their officers, the men used to just speak to them as though there was you or I. There was no discipline like what you had in the British Army. And that's what was their downfall. Because as soon as they saw the Chinese or the North Koreans, they ran. They wouldn't stand and really fight. If they'd stood and fought, they could have saved half their casualties. But just run.
What was it like fighting the Chinese?
Well, it was hard because they never give up. There was so many of them. It don't matter how many was you mowed down with the machine guns or that, or the American Air Force come in and mowed them down. They just seemed to be another 1,000 come from nowhere. They just numbers. They didn't worry about how many got killed. They just kept coming.
Did you see any Chinese close up?
Oh yes, yeah. We saw plenty of them close up. There was one night there. We was told to guard this hill, and was told there. That there was 60,000 of them 5 miles northeast of us, and the Americans were gone. That's how bad they were. And then, of course, they gradually infiltrate round your rear. That was their biggest problem. They would infiltrate round your rear, and then they ambush you. That was the Chinese's way of catching you. And of course, when we advanced up to the north, we cleared the hills as well. But the Americans, all they done was went up the road with their tanks, sprayed the hills on either side with their machine guns, and all the North Koreans and that, it was in the hills, at night, they used to ambush them, come round the back, and they would shoot up their guns and everything. But we used to do the hills as well as the roads, and we used to be sort of quite safe at night because we'd cleared the hills and we knew they weren't going to be behind us in the morning. But the Americans, the times they used to get done left, right and centre like that, all the guns, the crews and that, be killed in the morning.
Did you inflict many casualties on the Chinese?
Oh, we used to